All right, take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 15 tonight. Proverbs chapter 15. I've been preaching a series in Romans and preaching a series on great questions in the Bible. And tonight we're not going to preach either one of those, just going to do something else, all right? Proverbs chapter 15, if you would. Proverbs chapter 15, we're going to look at one verse here, then we'll be moving around some other verses. And Proverbs 15:13, the Bible says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." I want you to notice that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You know, when God's done something in your life, it ought to show up on your face, okay? Amen. It ought to show up on your face. And I found most everybody likes to laugh, you know. I enjoy laughing. I like to try to make people laugh. I like to try to put a smile on faces, you know. Sometimes in our Christian school, kid comes in, man, got that old long face. And we've got a few this year that they seems like they're very solemn, just very solemn. And try to get a smile on their face, you know. But I like to hear people laugh. I like to hear some of my grandkids cackle, you know, they laugh. And some people just got a good laugh. We've lived down through the centuries. People have been willing for hundreds of years to pay people to make them laugh. Literally pay. I mean, years ago, there was what they called a court jester. You know, all right, and that was his job, to entertain, to make people laugh and to make the king laugh, and it was a critical job. You couldn't do it. You were hired to do that. Well, you know, when your career ended, it wasn't farm you out, it was burying. And now we have modern-day comedians, and people will go and pay money to get that person to make them laugh, all right? And it's amazing. Now, the sad thing is today is so many can't be funny without being filthy. Boy, what a sad commentary, you know. Just can't be funny without being filthy. And some of the so-called famous comics of our day are famously filthy mouth. Just vulgar, not fit to listen to, and ought not to be listened to, and But we ought not to have to get filthy to be funny. And the same thing, I think along the same line, it's sad to me that we've lost the ability to laugh at ourselves. We have got so touchy today about, you know, joking with people. And I saw something on the internet the other day, and it called the name of this well-known pastor, and they said, "Here he is telling a racist joke." So I listened, and I thought, you know, what a sad thing. We can't laugh at ourselves anymore. I can't help it. I think of Brother DeJoyes. Now, Brother DeJoyes used to bring me all what I call, and I don't want to offend you, okay, but man, you ought not to be so thin-skinned. He would bring me all of what he called his Mexican jokes. And he would tell them, and he's Hispanic, and he'd tell them, and he'd laugh, you know, and we'd do that. Yeah, you know, man, great. But we live in a day, though, everybody's, man, you can't do that anymore. Oh, racist. Now, you can be filthy, and that's okay. You can be filthy, and that's okay. But we've come to that time. Well, I want to look at it tonight. I want to speak to you on the subject of laugh it up. There's really four main kinds of laughter that you find in the Word of God. And we want to look at those, if you would. Go with me, first of all, to Genesis chapter 18. Four different kinds of laughter that show up in the Word of God. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, we find the first one there down in verse 12. All right? Verse 12. And it's Sarah. She laughed because Genesis 18, verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also." Hey, so what's she talking about? Well, it's where God had told her, "You're going to have a son. You're going to have a son." Now, she was past childbearing age. in that day. And so the Bible said she laughed within herself. That's a laugh of skepticism. A laugh of skepticism. You see, the problem is Sarah really didn't believe God could do what he said. She really didn't believe he could do what he said. So it was, and it was one of those, it's that kind of laugh that you give when somebody says something and you go, sure, sure. A laugh of skepticism. That kind of laugh. You hear that laugh. You can hear that laugh a lot today because there's a lot of skeptics out there. That the skeptic, they will laugh at you and I who are Bible believers, and we tell somebody we believe the Bible literally. We believe God meant exactly what he said and said what he meant in the Bible, and we take the word of God literally. When it can be taken literally, we take it literally, all right? And we the things like, for instance, the Genesis flood, we believe it happened just that way. And, oh, God did have a fella, had a man named Noah. He told him to build this big boat, build an ark, said it's going to do something it's never done before. It's going to rain, and when it starts, it ain't going to quit for a long time. Said it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible said the windows of heaven were open, the fountains of the deep were opened up. Man, water was coming from the top and the bottom both, all right? And it was just, and the flood went out there. And we believe that. Amen. We believe that. We believe, us Bible believers believe that God did that, and Noah and his family, and that was it. Just eight people made it through that flood. Nobody else. And everything else started from that eight. Makes us all kinfolks, which is a scary thought. All right? Well, that's what it makes, all right? Hey, we're there. You go back far enough. There's some people, I hope you have to go all the way to Noah for me to be kin to them, all right? But, you know, I mean, you go all the way back there. But, you know, we believe that. Well, a lot of people laugh at that. Come on, man. You really think God, yeah, man, you get all those animals in there. I'm like the guy that said it's not the fact that God could put two elephants in there. It was the fact there was only two fleas got on the boat, all right? I just don't had to keep the rest of them off, you know. But I did. I believe God did exactly what he said. Now, the skeptic laughs at that. The skeptic laughs at the whole thought of creation because it's amazing to me. We'd rather believe, we got so many people in this day would rather believe that it all came from nothing. And it started, and the current thought is a big bang. And everything erupted and spinning and it coalesced and forget it. I don't even, it's too unbelievable. But we'd rather believe that than that an almighty God put it here. We'd rather believe that tale. What a crazy thing. But those people believe that. They're skeptics. They laugh at us and say, you got to be kidding. No, we believe that. Well, man, surely you don't believe that, you know, Red Sea crop. Yeah, we believe that. We believe that. We believe the children of Israel went across the Red Sea on dry land. Now, the skeptic hears that kind of stuff, and the skeptic's laugh, if you will, is one of those laughs that it kind of goes along with a poke of the elbow, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. You've seen that. Well, there's a laugh of the skeptic. My comment is let them laugh. Amen. Let the skeptic laugh, boy. I mean, I don't mind. Y'all have a good time. Y'all laugh now, because we're going to laugh later. Listen, we're going to, you laugh now, and we're going to enjoy the benefits of living in obedience to the Word of God. We're going to enjoy that. Enjoy it thoroughly. So let the skeptic laugh. Go ahead, that's fine. But there's another laugh in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Turn over there. The first laugh is the laugh of skepticism. But this next laugh is a little different. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and if you will, look in verse 6. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 6, the Bible says, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. All right, there it is. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. Yeah, you got that? It's a cackle. All right? This is the laugh of sinful merriment. This is the laugh of sinful merriment. Now, the world's term for this is fun. That's the world's term. It's fun. Yeah, you want to get it? Well, if you go by Billy Bob's and the door swings open, you'll hear that laugh coming out of there. You go by the nightclub, you'll hear that laugh coming out of there. You go by the juke joints. I don't know if people know what a juke joint is now, but you go. Some of you do, all right? You used to go. No, I was kidding. I was kidding about that, all right? But that laugh, it comes out of there. The country club, all right? Here it is, all comes out of there. It's the laugh that it comes out of the locker room because of the filthy jokes that are told. Amen. It's that, the Bible says, it's the laugh of the fool. It's the laugh of a fool. We live in a day, boy, where everybody thinks everything's got to be fun. I think we live in a day where people are pursuing fun just, I mean, with all that they have and all that's within them. They're shelling out money because they want to have fun. I want to have this fun, and I can't have this fun without doing this thing, and I've got to do that. And life is centered around fun. It's centered around me, and I want to have a good time. I want to have fun. I want to be able to laugh. I want to be able to enjoy stuff. I was talking to my wife the other night. I had some TV show was on, and they were in the course of this, they were showing this, I presume you'd call it today's version of a nightclub. And man, you know, in the storyline, it's there, and the lights are pulsing, and the people are all standing out there in the big crowd, sort of having a group fit. And they're, you know, kind of epileptic fit, group fit. And they're out there and gyrating and all of that. And I'm sitting here thinking, you got to be kidding. That's what you would spend money to get into a place, to have your ears assaulted with a racket. And it's really not music, I mean, but it's a pulsing racket. But that's what people today want. We want that fun. Got to have it. The Bible said you got that laugh of sinful merriment. It's a frantic, spasmodic, temporary thing. Because the laugh of the fool doesn't last very long. It just doesn't last. And the sad thing is, it's often followed by wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Because Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and verse 8 are true. They're true. You say, well, what does that say? Well, let's go over there, all right? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I want you to see it. We live in a time where, boy, everybody thinks this is what life's all about. It's all about having fun, you know, and party time. Well, the Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Boy, there's that laugh of sinful merriment. And people just, you know, oh man, just howling with laughter. But like I say, it often is followed by weeping and wailing. It's often followed, that kind of fun is often followed the next bidet with what happened. It's often followed with the realization because of what I did, I now have some sin in my body. I have some disease in my body that I'm going to have to live with the rest of my life. Hey, what a time. But that fun. Hey, there's the sin. There's the laugh of the skeptic. There's the laugh of sinful merriment. But I'm going to tell you, there's a good laugh, all right? Go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. There's some other laugh. There's a laugh that's a good thing. It's a blessed thing. Psalm 126, If you will, look in verse 2. Look at this, Psalm 126, verse 2. The Bible said, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." Now it says there, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter." So go back and look at verse 1. "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter." You say, what is this? This is the laughter of victory. The laughter of victory. This is the joyful laughter of a happy soul. I mean a happy soul who by the grace of God has been able to overcome. That's the laugh. That's the laugh of one who's reached that permanent state of peace and power and permanent fellowship with God. That's the kind of laugh. Hey, by the way, this is the kind of laughter you never have to worry about any guilt associated with it, all right? Man, this kind of laughter you can laugh at. I've watched people before. Sometimes I've watched people and they get to laughing and they start looking over their shoulder. You know, if there's no guilt, you don't need to do that. You don't have to look who heard that. Who knows what I'm laughing about? You know, that child of God where he not ought to be, and that filthy joke's being told, and they laugh, but there's that guilt that goes with it. Oh, listen, the laugh, the Bible talking about here, the laugh of victory is for the child of God that's overcome. That's the man, he's been born again. You found out what living's all about. Living's all about serving God. Living's all about doing what God wants you to do. And that's where the laughter comes in and the joy. It's a joyful laughter. It's not a laughter like, remember what it said about the crackling under the pot, you know? When you've got those things that are burning and you got those twigs, you know how it crackles and everything? That's the cackle of sinful merriment. But it's not like that. This laugh is a laugh of joy, man. It's a laugh of joy. Just pure joy that comes out. It's a laughter, by the way, never has to end. Never have to end. You can laugh. I believe that's a laughter and the joy is going to ring through heaven forever. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not saying, preacher, you mean we get to heaven, all we're going to do is laugh all the time? No. No. But I believe there's laughter, okay? I'm afraid some people think we're going to get to heaven and sing the doxology all the time. Well, we're not, all right? There's going to be laughter there. There's laughter for the child of God. Listen, man, we don't have to be solemn. We can be serious and still laugh. You can be serious. There's a difference between being solemn and being serious, okay? You can be serious with a smile on your face. You can be solemn. It's hard to be solemn with a smile on your face. You're not solemn. Hey, we can laugh. There's a joy. There is that joy that comes from salvation, that joy that comes from knowing, hey, I'm on the winning side. Amen. I'm on the winning side. I like a good football game, especially a good high school football game. And you know that if you've been around here, you know me. I like to go, my son and I, we love to go to high school football games. And we have teams that we root for. And I wish I could always go in knowing ahead of time my team's going to win. Now I can enjoy the game all the way through. Now the only way I can do it is watch it later. Because I know who won. I'll never forget In 1980, I was in the old Texas Stadium. It was the Saturday before Christmas, one week away from Christmas, state championship game. And it had been an amazing season. And my favorite team was playing. Team I just got where I rooted for, and they were there. And I'll never forget the game. And we were sitting there in Texas Stadium. It was cold as all get out. It was frigidly cold, okay? It was really cold. But we're there, and I was watching that game. And in the first half, it wasn't going real good. As a matter of fact, the end of the first half, it was 19-7, and our team didn't have 19. And the team that had been ranked number one all year long was there, and they had the 19. And I'll be honest with you, at the end of the half, I'm thinking, well, it's been a great season. We've had a good time. What a blessing. But I'm going to tell you, the second half came around. And I don't remember what the score was at the end of the game. I only remember one team's points. The team that went in the game at halftime with 19, at the end of the game, they had 19. But the other team had done something, all right? Now, I could have enjoyed that whole game if I'd have known ahead of time who was going to win. I can go back and find that game now on YouTube, and I love watching it because I don't get worried. Oh, man, what's going on? We're getting behind. I can rejoice all the way through it because I know who's going to win. Can I tell you this? That's the way I look at this life. Man, yeah, things can look kind of bad, you know. They can look kind of difficult. Did you pay attention to the words of that song on page 183? And I don't know what y'all do when I sing a song. It's not just for the tune, okay? Those words, you pay attention in there. The world's fierce winds are blowing. Temptations are sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. Woohoo! All right? He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley I'm treading the road of care, my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars, ready to cast me down, my Savior whispered his promise, never to leave me alone. Oh, listen. Listen, do you realize, my friend, hey, tonight we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. I'm going to be honest with you. Whoever is elected on Tuesday is not going to take away my joy and my happiness. And it's really not going to add to it if the other fellow wins, all right? Whoever wins is not going to take away from or add to it. Because I know what happens. We're on the winning side, all right? And boy, we've got that privilege of knowing. We can have that laughter. The laughter of joy, the laughter of victory. We've got that laughter. Now, well, there's another kind of laughter in the Bible. Take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1, would you? Proverbs chapter 1, I'm going to tell you what, this one's not good. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh. Hey, here's a laugh of condemnation. Amen. The laugh of condemnation. The implications of this are terrible because the implication is that God himself is going to return to the sinner his own reward. He said, preacher, now what do you mean by that? Well, you know, those who people that got upset, God is dead. Yeah. Or that crowd that says, some Bible-believing preacher, listen to that fanatic. Or the one that says Jesus' father was a German soldier. Ha, 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 ha. One of these days, the Bible said God's going to laugh. He said, the Bible says he's going to laugh at your calamity, and I'm going to laugh when your fear cometh. Hey, that day's coming. There's a lot of folks have laughed at this book, mocked this book, mocked the God of this book, mocked the Savior that died for the souls of men. One of these days, God's going to laugh at them. I believe there's coming a day when old Hugh Hefner is going to hear the laugh of God. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. But he made his choice in life. Made his choice in life. Man, and you could go on and on. There's so many people that just have you know, just thumbed their nose at God and mocked it, made fun of God. You mark it down. One of these days, God's going to laugh at them. It's not going to be a pleasant thing. But I think about that crowd that responds to the gospel invitation with contempt. I believe one of these days they're going to hear God laugh at them. You said, preacher. Now, wait a minute. God wouldn't do such a thing. The Bible says he will. Look, after God's done everything he's done for mankind, after he stretched his hands out to us, after he's reached out, after he gave his son, and allowed his son to be treated the way he was treated for us, and then says to those that are on this earth, I'm going to offer you something you don't deserve. You couldn't earn it in a million years. And the only way you can get it is through me, and you've got to accept what I've done in the offering of my son, and you've got to accept him. But if you'll take it, I'll give you the free gift of eternal salvation. And it doesn't matter what you've done, I'll forgive it. I'll forgive it. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. I believe the mass murderer could turn towards God and cry out for mercy, and God would give it to him. God would give it to him. I'm not sure there's anything more despicable from the human standpoint than a child molester. I'm going to tell you this, I believe God, if that child molester would call out for God's mercy, I believe God will forgive him. God will forgive him. God will save him. I believe those German soldiers, German officers that were complicit and were part of the massacre and the butchery of the Jews, I believe they'd call out to God, God forgive them. I believe he would have saved them. See, I don't believe there's anything he can't forgive. But he will not forgive those who just neglect his son. There's no forgiveness. I believe God one of these days is going to laugh at them. He's going to laugh at them. You see, you're going to reap. People will reap what they sow, all right? Now, I'm not against laughter. I'm in favor of laughter, okay? I'm just for it. I want us laughing at the right time, at the right things, and for the right reason. And boy, I hope we will. I hope we'll be people of great joy and laughter. And I believe we ought to come to the house of God and sing the great songs of the faith and get around the preaching of the Word of God. And I think it ought to bring a smile to our face. Man, I have found myself before in a service where a preacher is just hoeing the corn, man. I mean, he is getting after it. And really, he gets on my toes. And before I know it, there's a smile on my face. You say, you're laughing. I'm not laughing because of what I've done wrong. I'm just thinking and rejoicing. Look, God sent somebody to preach to me. Man, what a joy it is to know you can get right with God. We ought to have that. You know, I dead sure don't want us laughing the laugh of the skeptic, but you know, I really don't worry too much really about us. Even though Sarah was somebody that should have known better, she did offer that laugh of skepticism. I don't want you and I doing that. I sure don't want us laughing that laugh of sinful merriment. Boy, I've seen too much of what happens with that. Don't want you to hear the laugh of condemnation. And I don't want anybody else to hear it either, to be honest with you. That's why we meet. That's why we pray. That's why we preach. That's why we give. Why? We want to get the truth of the Word of God out. We want the Word of God to be preached. We want folks to be able to hear it so they can get right with God. And they can get right with Him. Hey, there's time to be serious. There's a time to be serious. You ought to get serious if you're facing eternity. You ought to be serious when you're preparing to meet God. But I'll tell you what. The truth of the matter is, if you have prepared right, when the time comes, you can meet him with a smile. If you've prepared the way you should. Hey, what kind of laughing are you doing? What kind of laughing are you doing? Man, I hope your laughing is not all built around fun. What the world calls fun. You know? And preacher, you against having fun? No. But I sure am against most of the way the world says you got to do it to do it. I'm in favor of fun. I'm in favor of joy and happiness. And I think we ought to look forward to it. But oh my, we'll do everything we can to do our best to get the gospel out to people. You know, I preached this morning out of Romans chapter 10, and I didn't make application about towards the great giving of for missionaries. Hey, but that's the reason we're here. Remember I said just a minute ago, that's the reason we give, so the gospel can get out around this world, around the world. Oh, how about your laughing? How about your laughing? Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, help us to be people that have a merry countenance. Lord, that look like we're saved and we're enjoying our salvation. We're not burdened down by it, but we're enjoying what you've given us and what we have from you. But Lord, help us to never laugh that laugh of skepticism, to never be skeptical about what you've said you'll do, but to believe you, Lord. Know you can, and know you're beyond capable, Lord. Help us to look to you for those things. And then, Lord, help us as we live that we'd not consume ourselves with a laugh of sinful merriment like this world is bent on destruction. But, Lord, help us to look forward to having that laugh of victory because of what you've done for us. Lord, move in our midst, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand tonight? We're going to sing page 401, verse 2 of Only Trust Him. Only trust him. Look, the altar's open. If you need to come, would you come? God speaks to you. You come on tonight while we sing. Come on.